The truth is funny. Shift happens. With monthly guest host Karen Button. Get ready to toss your limitations and shift into a space of authentic, limitless living. Karen is a holistic nurse practitioner, plant essence alchemist, and movement medicine educator, bringing you passionate conversations that will ignite your potential to create expansive change in any and every facet of your life. Are you ready? Here's Karen.
Good morning and welcome to The Truth is Funny. We're going to dive right in. I'm so excited about my guest today, as always. The title of our show, which I think, you know, we just have to put out there, is Jumpy Leapy. There are many passions that the varying world has, and where my guest and I seem to meet is a passion for anything about the pelvis, the pelvic floor, which includes the back and the knees and really every other body part. But we're also looking at a lot of the issues that females tend to experience with relationship to their pelvis, their pelvic floor, their back. Things such as incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, pain, you name it. And my guest and I met when we were training together in the Franklin Method. We're both level 3 educators. But Solange has a background as a physical therapist and has worked with women for many years, specializing in pelvic floor issues and the pelvis and the back. And I am just so thrilled to get to pick her brain and learn and find out how she, I have to turn that off, how she blends these two incredible techniques and experiences and how amazing her clients get the gift of the mind and the body. So Solange, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. I love talking about the pelvic floor. I'm passionate in helping women and men on their healing journey. I love talking about the pelvic floor.
And talking about diving right in, let's just go right in. Most people, when they think that they have issues with the pelvis or the pelvic floor, think strengthening and tightening is the way I need to go. Kegels. So let's just dive in, because your answer to this question might surprise everyone and anyone, given what most of the literature and talk is out there. So tell us, is strengthening and tightening the most singular, most effective technique for enacting change in whatever one might be experiencing?
I mean, we have to look at the pelvic floor as like we would look at any muscle in the body. And would we use any muscle just in a strengthening and a lifting way? Or would we want to have a balance in being able to contract, relax, and elongate? And when it comes to strength, the pelvic floor is made up of it's not one muscle, it's many muscles. And when we are just strengthening and tightening, we're strengthening primarily one aspect of the pelvic floor, the back part that lifts the anus. And many people, when they contract the pelvic floor, they're tightening their butt, they're tightening their glutes. They may not even be sure what they're tightening. They think they're doing it right. And it doesn't address the many other muscles, the part of the pelvic floor that relates to the hips, and that we need a full range of motion and a relaxation that will give us that increase in the strength that we're looking for. So it's kind of counterintuitive, because people think, oh, I'm having an issue, I'm leaking, or I'm feeling pressure. You know, those muscles must be weak, I need strengthening. And
even you saying the word, I feel myself tightening, like leaking, your whole body goes, stop.
We end up being in a holding pattern, which doesn't allow the muscles to move. And also the pelvic floor, it doesn't just work in isolation. It's part of a team. It's part of a team that works with the diaphragm, the deep abdominal muscles, the transverse abdominis, and the muscles that stabilize the spine, the multifidus, the deep muscles. And then it's also a team as well with every muscle that attaches to the rib cage and to the pelvis and the spine. So we can't look at it in isolation. We have to look at it, how it works together with the members of the team, looking at the alignment of the spine, the pelvis, the hips, and how those parts are moving in general. So it's not like, okay, we're going to just tighten and do these exercises. Then you don't address the other piece of like, well, how are those muscles actually stacked and aligned, and how are they moving? Because people may feel better from just the strengthening initially because they're passionate about what they're doing. They feel good about it. They're investing the time to make a change in their body. But then, you know, it's not long lasting. You know, they start to have setbacks and they realize, maybe there's something else that I can be doing. So
most people I talk to will even say, well, I thought it was getting better. And then it really, you know, over the last, it hasn't changed much. You know, my symptoms are pretty much the same that they've been, but they mentally feel stronger, you know, and that makes them feel more at ease because they're like, well, I'm definitely stronger. You know, I can lift my egg or I can do, you know, there's a sense of building strength that feels good. But when you get down to the symptomatology, many women aren't really experiencing too much of a change in that. Would you say that may be, you know, what you're speaking of could be the key to, I just comment, I love the idea that there's a community. I could feel my whole body relaxing, like my pelvis doesn't have to do it all on its own. And my so-called pelvic floor has friends and buddies that are going to take part in helping me out here. This is awesome. Tell me more. What are their names? Where do they live? And how often do they come to the party?
Yeah, it's like you don't have to be tunneled in and focused on the pelvic floor all the time. And I think what happens when many people are having an issue is that becomes the singular focus. Oh, I can't do anything else. I have to stop moving because it's going to make it worse. So they sort of end up becoming frozen. And you know, the team is here to help you out. and one of the
modern
best, you know,
problem, you have support and it's right there in your body and you don't even know it, right? Or not me, I don't even know it. Like, need to be reminded. I love that.
And the best thing is that the team is here to help you and it's within something that you do all the time, every day. Many, like you can tap into it. And if you did a bad one, there's many, many opportunities for it to come along. The best way to get in touch with the pelvic floor is through breathing, to really start to tune in and notice what is happening with breathing. And it's not only breathing, it's how am I positioning myself in breathing? So just start to move and say, hey, am I on my sit bones? You know, like, do I have a curve in my lower back? What's going on in my rib cage? To start to begin to feel things and to don't get stressed out if it's not happening initially. You know, like, we've had postural patterns in the body, all of us, for a long, long time. Sometimes an issue happens and we get, you know, like, oh, it must have been something that I've done right away that has caused this. But these issues are long, you know, they've been with us a long time, the way we sit, the way we stand. And it's really when we begin to notice our breathing, to notice these postures and become aware, we're just like, oh my God, it's just like, it's automatic. The same way that like you could get in the car and like end up at your destination and you're like, how did I get here? The same, has that ever happened to you? I'm like, wait, I was driving, but like I was somewhere else, but I got here safe.
Driving then. Do you know? Community that is part of my whole body, parts of me that I'm not aware of. I'm with you. Maybe my pelvic floor was driving the car.
It's awesome. Hey, I didn't fall over, you know, and somehow, you know, like it couldn't have been one, you know, one group alone. You know, like the whole team had to have been involved.
But well, can you imagine, and I know we share this piece, but like I had a moment of like, what would it be like to frame the pelvic floor in a positive light? I mean, which is what you're already doing. Like, we're laughing about, well, what, you know, one, it's part of the team, and two, perhaps it was driving the car for you. You know, maybe you want to touch on that a little bit, you know, that just even how we think about it influences.
Yeah. And also that, you know, that we don't have to work so hard at it to get it to work for us. And that's sort of one of the beautiful things. Like when we begin to breathe and look at alignment, you know, and start to feel these things, the body is working for us. We always have to remember that we have this innate wisdom in the body, this beautiful design. And if we slow down and begin to notice and feel, hey, you know what? When I'm breathing and I take a breath in, you know, and I kind of just relax and let go of tension in my body and sit well, I think I can feel like a little something happening down at my sit bones. And then when I breathe out, you know, yeah, I can start to feel like something's moving and happening. So do I need to start to lift and squeeze and get in the way and interfere with best intentions? Because I think that's what I need, but do I need to get in the way of what's already happening? And the same thing, oh, I have this beautiful curve in my lower back, these beautiful curves in my spine. Do I have to change those things to make, or do I have to just notice and see, okay, what does that feel like? Begin to move a little bit. How does breathing feel when I, you know, arch my spine a little bit, when I flex my spine, to begin to notice these things? And, you know, you start to pay attention to the subtleties and you start to let go of the holding and the tension, which makes it hard. The pelvic floor is actually working for you.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
Do you have 22 minutes to transform your life? Join spiritual practitioner and award-winning author Karen Mills Alston and award-winning publisher and broadcaster Sean Patrick Murray as they ask and answer life's most essential questions. Learn to participate in life fully, develop your gifts and talents, be open to limitless possibilities, and become available to your greatest yet to be, all in just 22 minutes a week, now on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Well, welcome back. And we left you on a cliffhanger there, thanks to a little internet interruption. But yes, could tension be one of the contributing factors to symptoms, right? Whether they are pelvic organ prolapse, stress incontinence, jumping with a little bit of leakage, you know, leaping with a little bit of a leakage, or laughing or coughing, all of those, or even back pain, right? They all tend to be, right? Would you agree? They're all relatively... related to each other, part of the same community of main members. And so it sounds like, you know, we're used to thinking things are weak, which we've been sort of talking about, to kind of poking holes in this idea that, you know, and now you're actually saying equal to things being weak, they may actually be tense.
Yeah.
What?
So yeah, if something is tense or held in one position, when you have force coming down and those muscles are like
force, like a jump or a leap or a
or anything, like, or it could be just the
force. Yeah.
The force of just walking, of taking a step, and you have a pattern of just, okay, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm leaking when I'm walking. So, you know, I'm holding my belly in towards my spine, you know, like I'm lifting my pelvic floor. So you have this force coming down and there's no place to spread the load and to dissipate that force. So it comes down, like it's like basically taking a jump without bending your knees. So like you get, like if you would jump and not bend your knees, you would get this hoop. So like you're taking a step or you're taking a jump and you're squeezing kind of, okay, I'm not going to leak. I'm not going to, you know, I'm holding everything in, and it doesn't allow you. There's a lot of organs in the midsection and there's a lot in the pelvis, and it doesn't allow that things to slide and adapt. There's a normal movement that needs to happen with the organs, and that only happens if we allow the joints of the pelvis to move and the muscles to elongate to absorb that force and lengthen. And what it does is it dissipates the load through the pelvis, through the legs, and then the pelvic floor lengthens. So you have this beautiful built-in support that will happen for you to absorb the force if you tap into it and pay attention and sort of start to begin to notice, like, okay, do I have this? Do I strike hard when I walk and really like grip my butt, you know, like, and because that makes walking really like an exercise and I'm going to get a lot out of my walking. Like, is that good? Or, you know what, if I sort of just let that go and notice that, like, yeah, there's a normal, just like a little bounce in things and a rebound. And the reason why that's there is to help absorb the force and the pressure. And then guess what? It kind of rebounds you into your next step. So it's energy saving, you know, so it's like you absorb it and then it's elastic and then it takes you back into your next step or your next jump.
It's like the opposite of the New York walk, right? The way people walk down the street in New York City is, you get used to it and you kind of forget, but it's like there's so much effort going into each step, and you're actually saying, you know, it cuts down on the efficiency. Yeah, like you're putting more effort forward than it requires to put one leg in front of the other is actually can be a rather effortless experience, and that alone is something that supports the pelvis and the organs in it to function more optimally. Well, yeah. There's a reason to walk a little slower, but yeah. You're not saying slower, right? Like, are you, right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, pay attention to what's happening. Start to begin to notice, am I pushing really hard here? Am I allowing mobility in my feet? You know, like because maybe it's not only, we know it's not only the pelvic floor, you know, like maybe those things that are happening in walking, that's why the knees are hurting. That's why the back's hurting, you know, like it's, you know, it's the team together. So yeah, just, you know.
So as far as then the common patterns that lead to, you know, something that we'll just focus on incontinence, stress incontinence.
Yeah. Now,
it sounds like tension is one of them. You know, holding, you know, unrecognized tension. What would you say are some of the others?
Then just, you know, it's looking at what you're doing during the day. So if you take a look at how you're sitting, you know, so every, you know, like what's your pelvis doing when you're sitting? Are you sitting back on your sacrum? So everything has kind of rolled back and slid down and is making its way, you know.
Wait, you mean like this?
Yes.
Well, in the pelvis rolls back, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Rolls back so that we're not actually using the bony support system, the ligamentous support system that keeps everything, you know, that helps anchor it in its place and will allow for it to have its sliding motion when we move. So looking at pelvic posture, looking at same, like you know, when you're standing and cooking dinner, when you're standing and reading something or on the phone, let's take that. Like, what happened there? What is your pelvis doing there? What is your rib cage doing there? Are both of those things, like, has the rib cage collapsed and the pelvis collapsed as well? So beginning to look at those patterns of like, okay, the pelvis is tucking under, the rib cage is not, you know, staying lifted, but, you know, moving dynamically in an open and supported way. And beyond just the pelvis and the rib cage, noticing, is there tension in my jaw and my neck muscles? Is there tension in my feet? All these, you know, the body is all connected. So tension in these areas, it can be a window into what's going on with the pelvic floor. Like frequently, if someone's having a jaw issue or a shoulder issue, that may not be the culprit. You know, that's just part of the connection to the rib cage into the pelvis. And the same thing with the feet, but that connective tissue goes from the pelvis down through the legs into the feet. So those patterns can show up, you know, with the tucking the pelvis, the rib cage, these slouching postures, and also just pain in the shoulders, jaw, feet.
That's a lot to pay attention to. How do you work with clients to, it sounds like building awareness is one of the key features of perhaps being able to address from a full body perspective, you know,
it's a lot to pay attention to, but at the same time, it's kind of exciting because you can say, there's another way in to address what's going on in the pelvis, right? So if I do some release on my shoulder, and then I notice that, okay, wow, that side of the pelvis feels softer. And, you know, like I can breathe more and I can feel breath more into that side of the rib cage. So I've kind of gone in through the back door in a way and made a change in the pelvis. Same thing, you know, I do a little bit of rolling out on my feet and then, you know what, that I'm able to bend a little bit more easier into the hip and it feels smoother and, oh, my shoulder feels back. So it's not that we have to address all of these other parts, and it's a lot to work on, that we kind of can go in through the back door and influence the pelvis and up the chain in a positive way by just doing a little bit on something that may seem distant and possibly not related, but is so crucial.
Yeah. I mean, I just kind of sort of had that thought of like, well, if I'm paying attention to my body, maybe I'll be worrying less about all of this. You know, all the things that we might be worrying about, our grocery list or what's happening tomorrow, what we did, all the things we didn't do, you know, this idea of infusing your day with awareness about the habits and patterns that you're engaging in that might benefit you, right? Like you can't let go of tension if you're not even aware that you're holding it, right? If you're not even aware that you're doing this, right? So you're talking about building this skill set of becoming aware. It's not only going to benefit your symptoms, it will actually maybe even sort of keep you from worrying so much about other things because your focus is going to be on your body.
Yeah. And you're going to feel sensations in other areas and those sensations you may, oh, that actually feels really, really good. And that can take you in a positive direction away from sort of the tunneling into, there's something wrong with me. I have this thing in the pelvis, you know, like that, which kind of is in the, you know, even if you're doing something, it may be in the back of the thoughts all the time. So it takes you in really a positive direction. You start to experience good sensations and good sensations globally and good sensations in the pelvis as well. So it's really a win-win.
And the literature even shows, right, when we're experiencing joy, one, our immune system is more responsive and reactive you know, as opposed to when we're experiencing fear or think we're doing wrong, you know, there's a direct correlation with a suppression of the immune system, right? The immune system response, just to bring it back to, you know, you're not even affecting your, just your pelvic floor or your, maybe your symptomatology, but it supports your whole body as a whole to function more optimally from even, you know, some things as microbes or to support for the entire nervous system to be more at ease. And so not only are you working on some pelvic floor or pelvic issues, you are benefiting your entire body. So what are the primary techniques that you use to create this experience? Or what maybe is more accurately said, guide clients to create this experience for themselves.
Yeah. And I love that you say guide, because I mean, that's been the biggest change for me with bridging Franklin Method into my work as a physical therapist. Before it was, you know, people coming, what's wrong with me? Sort of me taking a look and kind of explaining what I saw and sort of influencing that person's experience by the language in which I was using as I was doing my evaluation. And now it's sort of become, you know, we're having a dialogue and like I'm noticing something, but I'm having them notice. And so we're talking about what's going on and I'm sort of holding back in what I may feel or see so that they can begin to say, this is what I think is going on, and they have a lot of insight into their body. But going back to your question, which tell me it again, because
what are your techniques for guiding people to, right, to build this awareness, right? Like, because I guess really what we're addressing, just to kind of bring the overview, is it's not what you do maybe with your physical therapist three times a week that actually creates the experience of your body. It's what you're doing every day. And so you're really suggesting that building awareness about the body, the positioning that you're taking and everything that you're doing is not only going to affect, you know, how your pelvis functions. And we talked about your immune system and all of that, but it's really what creates your physical body, right? In any given moment. And so then I was saying, what are the techniques
you hit the nail on the head right with it right there, because it's really looking into the postures and the daily movements. That's where I begin with my patients, because if you think about what you're doing during the day, you know, like even if you're doing an exercise routine, you know, like you have a set, you know, you do exercises three times a day, that can't compete with the rest of the time during the day, the rest of the movement that you're doing.
In other words, you're tight all day long. That's going to counteract what you did for an hour with your physical therapist.
Or if you did a beautiful exercise workout, and then you go to sit down and you just collapse because, you know what, I'm done. I'm so exhausted by that. And you just like throw yourself around and you don't pay attention to, you know, when I sit, you know, like I'm either slumped back or I'm crossing my legs all the time. And what could that possibly be doing to my pelvis and my spine? And then when I'm standing, I have this pattern of like shifting my hip to the side, you know, and I carry my kids in this one arm because I can only do it like this because I have to multitask with this arm free.
So big one, right, for women is that carrying the baby all on one side, or, you know, it really brings your awareness, at least for me, is like, I actually couldn't carry my baby on the other side.
Me too.
Yeah. But how beneficial that is to switch it up, even if it's uncomfortable, right?
And what I find is interesting, because even though it's uncomfortable, you may think I can only do it this way because, you know, it's like when you have a baby, it's really, really demanding. There's a high level of stress. There's a lot of crying and those needs needing to be met now. And, you know, it sort of takes being able to slow down and try to like, yeah, I can hold in my other hand. I have to practice and train myself to do it. You know,
it feels really uncomfortable.
It does, but if like I was training myself, like I was noticing, you know, I'm washing dishes, you know, like 10 times a day, and I'm only using this hand, and like this is my strong hand to hold the pot. And I was like, one day I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use the other hand. I'm going to start to do it. And it was so awkward. But now when I'm doing it, it's like, I'm picking up this, like I've sort of have trained myself and I've adapted, and my arm, which was, you know, my manipulating arm, it now can hold and stabilize stuff so much better. And that's by just like, I didn't give up, you know, like I didn't start like, oh, okay, you know, like I can only do it this way. It's like little by little, you know, like the more we practice, that's, you know, like whatever we practice, that's how we train our body, what we're practicing most of the time. So going back to
standing, if you're someone that stands and they lean on their right hip all the time, right? Or that's the hip that they hold their child on. How is that affecting them?
How's that? I mean, like, first of all, you're not using the support of your pelvis, and you're not weight bearing through your hip joints. Like you've completely shifted that hip out. And like, even if you think like when you're on that one side, like your weight is like way over, you know, like you're not bearing through your hip joint. So it's like you've unweighted one side, and like you're using like accessory muscles that wouldn't normally need to do the job that you're asking them to do. So like when you center yourself and come back, like you're going to get the muscles around the joints to work dynamically and in balance, instead of asking muscles that aren't responsible to do more than they should be doing. And you're also creating, you know, like a shift in your spine, a side bend, a rotation. And that, it's like you're in a way creating a functional scoliosis by a pattern, you know, like
that sounds horrible.
But the good thing is, it's like you can change, like you can just begin to notice and like, you know, pop that hip back in, you know, like center yourself, you know, like.
But it sounds like you're saying it's not the movement. It's not like just leaning on the side. That's what's creating the limitation. It's doing that instead of all the other available movements most of the day. Right. Like it's like, so it's not like that's bad to lean on your right hip, but it's, if that's all you do and you don't lean on the left hip, you're going to create patterned of expression, right? Some parts will be long, some parts will be short.
And that's what we have to remember, that nothing is inherently bad. It's just, if that becomes what we do most of the time, we then start to run out of options of how we can use the rest of the body. So we have to begin by starting to center ourselves, becoming aware, shifting sides. There is no ideal posture to be in, but there you want.
Because that's like, you know, right? Isn't that what your clients ask you? Like, well, okay, how should I hold it? How should I stand? And you're literally saying, no.
Or it's like, oh, there's Solange. I got to sit up straight. She's coming. She's going to look at me. And that is, you know, you're basically just going from one extreme to the next. But what about everything in between? And so, you know, maybe you don't even have to get to the extreme. You know, it's like if we've been in a pattern for a long time, it's really hard to go towards what would have been, let's say, the ideal for us. But we need to build in some variation. So we start to need to move a little bit more towards that, knowing that we don't have to become that ideal, right? Like we're not forcing ourselves to become something that we're not, because, you know, we've been.
That. We're not forcing ourselves to become something that we're not. Everybody just breathe that in. Like there's so much in there. That's so great. We're not forcing ourselves to become something that we're not. We're working with what it is.
We're working with it.
Yeah.
We're working with it. And we have to understand that we don't need to get there to stop the issues that we're having. We need to embrace the body that we have. We don't have to look like our physical therapist. We don't have to look like our exercise instructors. We have to look like who we are. And I think once I started to embrace that on my journey, you know, like I started to become a whole lot happier about who I was. So like, hey, this is, I'm pretty good.
So this is like, I think you would call this is almost mental training, right? That has components of acceptance in it, that have components of awareness in it. And you as a physical therapist are seeing and using these as powerful tools that create dynamic and profound change in the body, not just in that moment that you're with the client, but, you know, from there, how's that A4 after? I don't know. From there on forward, you know, for every moment. And you can only, I think that's the other piece. Like you can just, it's a skill set that you get better at, right? Like you're never done having awareness of yourself because you then can have awareness of yourself while you're driving or while you're cooking your meal, you know? So it's not like I need to be, you know, in the beginning, you might need to just be aware of yourself and it feels like you can't do anything else. And then slowly, like the multidimensional, you know, incredible multitasking capacities of the body kick in and you're like, whoa, I'm aware that I'm rounding my shoulders and tucking my pelvis while I'm doing this squat or while I'm getting in the car to go drive.
And then what?
So now we're aware, then what?
So then you can intelligently choose the exercises that you need to practice. So like you start developing this awareness of what you're doing during the day. You start, you know, noticing, okay, you know, like I can stand a little bit this way, or I can sit on my sitting bones. And then you start to see what could be tight or what needs to be strengthened to help me out here. So then you can, you know, do some ball work and release work to make the muscles that have been gripping in this pattern for such a long time let go and feel more comfortable. So that can become the first step in what everyone wants, which is give me the exercise program. So I'm here for the exercises. What are the five, you know?
And we're gonna take a little break to come back and get a little bit of a commercial break. But I love that, like creating that, like everybody wants the exercise. Like even when we were working with, we're going to be doing a program together. You know, the person that was helping us develop the advertising, like, okay, well, so you're going to, you know, you tell them this and they're like, all right, what, you're going to learn six exercises? And we're like, wait, that's exactly what we're not going to do.
Yeah.
So when we come back after the break, Solange is going to go into, you know, the idea that like it's not just six exercises and there aren't just six exercises, it's the combination of all of these techniques, would you say? All right,
absolutely.
We'll be right back for the break. If you want to call in with any questions, 1-800-930-2819.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding Into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on Miles to Go with Brittany Miles. How to lose to gain it all. Join Brittany every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Listen as coach and healer Brittany Miles shares stories that teach you about surrender. For more information about Brittany, MilesToGoCoaching.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton.
Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBetton.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back. We're here with Solange Ross, physical therapist and Franklin Method educator, who specializes in female issues with the female pelvis, really, movement and strengthening and optimizing for things such as incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, pain, discomfort, you name it. And we've been highlighting amazing, amazing opportunities for everyone to participate in creating change in their own body. And we were, talking about the power of awareness, talking about the power of noticing our own habits and patterns and how that feeds us to create change everyday life rather than maybe the three times a week that you meet with your physical therapist. And then we were just getting into this. Everybody wants the exercises, right? What are the exercises I need to do? And so I'm going to break that down for us as to why that approach may have some limitations in it in itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an okay question? It's hard to say. Why is that? It's not just the exercises, right? Yeah. Because what we're even talking about is, you go for it.
Yeah. So it's not just the exercises. So we have to look at the whole body alignment. We have to look at how different parts are interacting with one another. We have to look at the mobility of the spine, the pelvis, and the hips. We have to look at how this team is working through breathing. And we have to take that into what we're doing most of the time during the day. And that's how we're sitting, how we're standing, how we're bending, when we're loading the dishes, when we're washing the dishes, when we're doing the laundry. We have to look into all of those things. So if you are only doing whatever exercises that have been crafted for you beautifully and you pay expert attention there, and then when it comes to what you're doing most of the time and you're kind of on automatic pilot, you may not be using those strategies that you're using in the exercise class. And most often, those, as we talked about, those patterns in the body, it's like how we can drive a car and end up at the destination without knowing how we got there. They're in there and they're strong. So we have to start to notice, I just lifted the laundry basket. And when I went over, I just rounded my spine. And what's that doing? Okay, that's collapsing everything and putting so much pressure on my pelvic organs. So could I do that better by hinging through my hips and lengthening and widening my sit bones? And whoa, that just feels so much better. That's more supportive. So starting, if we can't do these daily tasks, with what would be most healthy for our body, that's where we need to look. Okay, I need to work on when I bend forward, this sort of hip hinge and pelvic widening instead of this pattern of just bending down and reaching. I'm picking up toys all day long, like a mess from the kids. How am I doing that? Am I using the same strategy with that? Am I using my hips effectively? Am I varying the way that I bend to do that? Like sometimes maybe I'm taking a lunge, sometimes maybe I'm stepping out to the side, sometimes I'm moving backwards. And here you begin to just like, look how much exercise you've built into picking up stuff versus just okay, this is the same set of exercise. You know, these are my top five. I do them all the time. Like, you've just like exploded with the variation of what you've given your body.
That's beautiful. And I, you know, you, it sounds like it would be really hard to allow the pelvis to widen when you're tightening. If the first thing you're thinking when you go to sit down on the chair or you go to pick one of those pieces of toys off the ground is I need to lift and tighten my pelvis, that's really not going to allow for, you know, so you're saying every time you bend in the hip, there's a widening, elongation.
So there's an automatic elongation that could be working for you. And if you're doing an exercise where you're just, let's say you're doing a bridge or a pelvic tilt, and you're just working on this lifting aspect, you know, like, is your program really balanced? Or you're not getting that lengthening, that elongation. And then another thing to look at is like, how are you breathing during all of this? Like, you know, the pelvic floor is part of a team, and the way we access it and the way we get it to work is to optimize our breathing. So if we're bracing during these activities, which many of us do because we're, you know, it's habit, and we're also possibly carrying a child as we're picking up stuff off the floor, to start to begin to notice, am I able to breathe and move through my daily activities? That's going to give you the most bang for your buck. That it's not like, okay, I only breathe in this way when I do my exercise. You know, it's all, I exhale with the lift. So I'm going to exhale lifting every toy off the ground. No, if you allow your body to be mobile and allow your breath to be mobile as you're doing all your bending and lifting, like, you just took it to the next level. Like, you leveled up multiple times.
Wow. So the breath is connected to the pelvis. I mean, it's kind of mind blowing, right? Like, it can have that much of an effect on,
it can have that,
right? Like the stress levels, which then, go ahead.
If we're holding our breath, I mean, if we're holding our breath and we have,
right, which I'll interrupt, but like, isn't that like, if you're tightening something, I hold my breath when I tighten. So just that tightening alone is usually creates a breath holding experience. Do you find that with your physical therapy clients?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it, like, if you think about a balloon, like, what would happen? Like, if you squeezed the middle of the balloon, right? And if you squeeze the bottom of the balloon, it's like, my God, you know, like, things, you know, it's like, first of all, pressure is going up to the neck and shoulders. You're getting a lot of tension up here. And then you're also not creating any space for your pelvic organs and your abdominal organs. So what's going to happen to them? I mean, they're not going to migrate upwards. They're going, you know, we're going to feel pressure and different symptoms down in the pelvis. So yeah, I mean, getting the breath to work for us, and just being aware that, like, it's possible to allow my breath to move, and it doesn't necessarily have to be coordinated with the exercise. It can be,
yeah,
but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Like, that's the way we can really take it to the next level. Like, are we doing something that in nature we would look at it like, okay, that's static. So like, I'm washing the dishes and I'm standing in one place. That's static. But no, it's not, because I am focusing on, can I breathe and allow my diaphragm to move up and down, which will help with my pelvic floor, get that natural coordination with the two. So what looks like it may be static is really, I'm having a dynamic experience. And I'm also thinking, like, it's a sunny day and, you know, like, my heart is lifting. I'm feeling the sunshine coming in through my window. So something which could be like, why am I doing this? You know, like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, like, it really could become just like a beautiful exercise and a nice experience.
Which sounds a lot like almost meditation, you know. It sounds, you know, like you're
yeah.
It's like combining these these attributes that we call meditation or even mindfulness with movement. Meditation, mindfulness, movement. The three M's, you know, meaning that your movements are combined with mental techniques that help.
And then standing becomes strengthening, and something that could be so, you know, fatiguing and exhausting, you know, become, you know what? This is actually not so bad. If I begin to like, what am I thinking when I'm doing the dishes? Like if I'm in my hip joints, you know, like if I kind of get a sense of like, okay, what's my pelvic alignment like? You know, like, I mean, when I'm not paying attention, like I'm anchored onto the sink for support, you know, like, I'm like looking down, like you don't need to look down to like wash the plate. You know what? Like, you know that it's the plate, you know, like you can feel open, you know, like, and you know, like if you're doing that for a long time, like it's not going to feel good. So like, you feel your way around. It's kind of exciting to.
So it's the opposite of like not standing up straight with the shoulders back and tight, but it's actually this sort of, and not completely dropped and let go and loose, but like this, and not experiencing those, right? All of those are fine movements as well, but also like you've said from the beginning, which I think is beautiful, all the in between spaces between completely letting go, collapsing, and standing tight and strong. And making sure we're, I just keep moving my hands. And this, so we're doing this all in between.
Yeah. And just seeing like where, like what is the right amount that I need to use for this task? And that's where engaging all the time. Like, you know, like I would ask this question, like, why do you need it? You know, like, why do you need to be in, like your body, are we saying that your body doesn't have the strength to hold itself up? You know, that we need to just engage more to be able to do that. I mean, trust me, you will not fall over. You will not fall over either way. You know, like just like what, like it's experiencing the right amount of what of what's required for the task at hand, and letting your body decide that versus your mind taking over, saying, you know what, I really, so that my back doesn't hurt, I'm going to really pull my belly button in and lift my pelvic floor while I'm doing the dishes or while I'm standing in line, versus, you know what, let me just like get into my body. Let me breathe. Let me bend my knees, you know, like let me circle my shoulders. Let me soften the arches of my feet, you know, like, and it's like, hey, now it's like, now let me take a breath. Like, now I feel like I've like united my body instead of just like tunneling into, I gotta just engage to protect my back or do this so that I don't hurt myself.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. Well, as always, time goes so fast. So first I want you to share your contact information in case anybody listening wants to be able to get in touch with you.
So my website is www.completecorenyc.com, and I am doing telehealth visits. So you can reach me through my website.
In the living room.
Or my email is solange@completecorenyc.com. So I'd love to hear from you.
And Solange and I are teaming up, the nurse practitioner physical therapy, Franklin Method educators, to launch a four class series in April that will be recorded. So even if you can't make it, they're going to be on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern time, where we're going to start to show people how to apply these principles. We're going to be team teaching. We want to invite you. You can find it at my website at karenbetton.com. And we want to offer all the listeners a coupon that will give them 30% off, which is pelvic freedom. So
pelvic freedom.
Yes. When you insert the coupon pelvic freedom at checkout, you will get 30% off, which will give you a lovely discount. And we would love to see you and join us. And I'm so sorry we ran out of time. We were going to do a little meditation in the end, but that way you'll just join our class to learn how to meditate, be mindful, move, get the most out of your body, experience the greatest amount of efficiency, right? How's the least amount of effort you can put forward to get the greatest result for your life, your mind, your body, your spirit. And I just want to give a great big thanks to Solange for joining me for this hour. And your beautiful voice. I kept finding myself breathing softly just by listening to you and feeling that sort of flow of energy through my body that's possible. So highly recommend you work with her in any realm that you're experiencing in your physical body. Her expertise, her dedication in her own body mind will just immediately tap you into that potential and you being able to create change in your own body. So any final last words?
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. So please reach out to me. I'm happy to have a conversation about anything core, pelvic floor, just to help you feel better in your body and mind.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you out to the community. Thank you to Olivia. Thank you to Colette. Colette will be back next week at 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for her weekly show. And we'll be back next month. And join us for our four-week series class in April on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Use code PELVICFREEDOM to get 30% off. And thank you again. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens with Karen Benton. Tune in every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for more rich discussions packed with practical tools to help you learn to live limitlessly. Are you looking for more? Visit KarenBenton.com to schedule a private session, join her weekly movement medicine class, and discover some amazing products you didn't know you wanted to try. Ever heard of chocolate meditation? That's KarenBenton.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.